Connect and experience art at the Northfield Arts Guild. Visit our galleries, arts festival, and take in a performance at our theater featuring a full season of dramas, comedies, and musicals. The Guild's gift shop showcases unique art from over 100 local and regional member artists. Come enjoy music from the Cannon Valley Regional Orchestra or the 411 Concert Series. We invite you to explore your creativity in one of our classes. All are welcome at the Northfield Arts Guild. To learn how you can be a part, visit northfieldartsguild.org. Or call 507-645-8877.
Art Zany, Radio for the Imagination, with your host Paula Granquist, is brought to you by the Northfield Arts Guild and by the Paradise Center for the Arts. And now, Art Zany, Radio for the Imagination.
Good morning, this is Paula Granquist, and you're tuned in to Art Zany Radio for the Imagination. Thanks for listening to the show that celebrates creating and stories. So let's tune our imaginations together. Okay, I'm going to start off with a strange image. My daughter and I were driving to pick up our coffee order at the drive-thru when we spotted a dump truck at the back of the parking lot. The truck had a curious load. I thought it looked like tomatoes, but I thought, that's a lot of tomatoes, and that doesn't make sense. This is a type of big truck you would see at a construction work site. Not a baby truck, but a full-size load dump truck. And my daughter thought that the truck was filled with those little cutie oranges. Okay, I thought, she's seeing what I'm seeing. Then we drove closer to the dump truck, and both of us concluded that this was definitely a truck full of tomatoes. This is not harvest season in Minnesota. This is our winter spring. There was no driver in sight. My daughter thought, well, maybe he went in to get a coffee too. It was a very strange thing. And the driver's side had a logo that said something about recycling. This was all very confusing. Surely this couldn't be an open dump truck of piled loose tomatoes that were headed to the grocery store. You know, if they're driving down the freeway, what if there were a bump? This could be a disaster. I was very surprised to see this, and it was something I couldn't figure out. Were these tomatoes going to spill on the road? You know, this is pothole season, after all. And I tried to piece together the story possibilities. Can you use tomatoes for fertilizer? Is tomato juice used to make dyes? Had all these tomatoes spoiled? Now, there's likely a simple answer, but I don't know what that solution might be. Well, then I thought about, well, I should take a picture of this strange and wonderful sight. But then I stopped myself. This is a wonderful puzzle for the imagination. This is a fun story to share. What would I do with that picture anyway? I would take that picture and then it would sit in my camera roll. I wouldn't need to post it because what is that? I don't know what that is. My mind would believe that, okay, I've got the image now, so there's nothing else to do about this thing. I think because I didn't take the picture, I've been working through the puzzle of what the heck is the story behind that dump truck full of tomatoes in a Minnesota parking lot in the cold of April. What's exciting is wondering, where will this show up again in my world? Will I add this image to a story? Share the story? Yes, that's what I'm doing here because I've been thinking about it ever since it happened. Now I wonder, will I start seeing dump trucks of tomatoes all over? Is it something that I've missed in this world that's a very common thing? It's really interesting to me, and I keep wondering. And to me, that's the good thing because most things in life are better experienced live. In this world, we must work to make things happen. And to practice not turning to our phone for easy entertainment. To be in the moment is valuable. And I know this doesn't work for everything because there are those things that you want to add to your story and create the building blocks of what your world is. And I understand that need to preserve some of our memories, but maybe not everything. Most of our lives need to be taken in, observed, processed through all of our senses connected to what's in front of us. Life is sweeter if we let ourselves experience moments. And I imagine this is where why it comes back to Art Zany Radio, is that art is going to have an ever more important role in reminding us what it means to live in the moment. And that's why I love art performances and experiences. It's the players, the audience, the art, the stage, the music, the connections, the tools, exchanges, and the collective experience. So let's make art more important than collecting digital memories. And I'm so excited to be able to bring everybody together today. We have, I think this is a record for our new studio. We have a giant crowd already here, ready, and I'm so excited to welcome into the studio Bob Gregory Bjorklund. Welcome to Art Zany Radio.
Hello, Paula.
It's a thrill to have you here.
It's good to be back here.
I know, and I think Isaac and I were talking that the last time you were here was like the day before the whole world closed down last time.
So 2 years ago,
yeah,
just over 2 years ago, when we had to cancel the performance for our arts residency.
Exactly. And so that's, I don't know if it went by in a flash or if it's been a decade.
Some of both, it feels like to me.
Yeah, exactly. But I am thrilled there's live art happening again.
Totally agree. There's nothing that's the same.
Yeah. It probably feels great, too. You can feel the joy of it because it was not there for a while.
I can.
Yeah.
Yeah, and my guess is that the people I work with can. I felt it. I think about this year. I felt it this fall when we did the Mystery of Edwin Drood at the high school. I felt it when we got Rock and Roll Revival up at the middle school. I felt it when Arcadia just did our residency. We got a residency done with Chris Koza. Just what is it? 1 week ago or 2 weeks ago? And I'm feeling it now. At the end of that residency, our director, Laura Stelter, and I couldn't help but say to the audience, "We're back!
Yeah,
we're back."
That's important.
And that's what it feels like. There's something that's extremely different, and I won't get up on my soapbox for too long, but extremely different about talking to people on screens as opposed to being together, experiencing something in the moment.
Absolutely.
Now I'm off my soapbox.
Well, and we've got to get this crowd introduced to everybody so they know we are here with Arcadia Charter School students and Bob, who's the arts coordinator at Arcadia. And you've been doing that now, coming up on 20 years.
Since back in 47 I started. No. Yes. Once or twice since we opened the school in 2003.
Wow, phenomenal.
We've been open that long now. Isn't that crazy?
It is fabulous. And it is a school that we get to do all kinds of things, and this is one of them. So let's have everybody introduce themselves. We have a whole crowd of students here. We are going to be talking about the complete works of William Shakespeare, Abridged. They got that. And we'll get more into that show in a minute. But let's have everybody introduce yourself. Tell us a little bit about your world, a little bit about maybe school, what you love to do, and maybe even some of your favorite ways to engage your imagination. Do you want to start off? We'll start off.
Me first? All right.
Let's have the microphone. We got to have them straight in front of you. Perfect.
All right. I got it. I am Julian Ross. Brain latched onto the last question. As far as imagination goes, I do a whole lot of writing and poetry and storytelling. And in the COSA residency, I read out a couple of pieces by middle schoolers, and I read out one of my own poems. And that was the biggest way I think I connected with that residency.
Thank you. Tell us a little bit about yourself, too.
A little bit about myself. Oh, boy, I get to keep talking.
Grade are you in?
Important things. I am in 11th grade, and what else?
You go to Arcadia?
I go to Arcadia, that is true. I already said the writing. I like bugs. I like theater. I've missed theater so much.
Plug Purple Door.
Plug Purple Door. Okay. The last show I did before this was It's a Wonderful Life, but a radio performance, but also in the theater. And guy next to me was also in it. He was one George Bailey. And I played Mr. Potter, and it was fantastic. And coming up soon, guy next to me again is also, and I as well, are in Peter and the Starcatcher.
That's very exciting.
At the Northfield Arts Guild.
So theater is a big part of your world.
Very much.
Well, we're delighted to have you here. I can't wait to hear more about your role in this production. So let's talk about that guy next to you.
Hi, I'm the guy right next to you. I'm Isaac Udelhoffen. I'm an 11th grader at Arcadia as well. I I really enjoy theater a lot. One of the main things that's really becoming more of a thing is just like the laughter and joy that you get to create and give to people through your performance, especially with this show. And there's a lot of physicality and like slapstick humor that we get to do that in like different ways to make people laugh that aren't usually done. More things about me. I like making and listening to music a lot.
Is there an instrument you play?
I play acoustic and electric guitar. We had some fun with Koza and,
what a great experience.
Yeah. Working on some of his songs and yeah, it was cool to like play with the band. So
Isaac, why don't you tell them what you're doing, in addition to being an actor in this show?
Yeah. I am actually also doing a lot of the prop making, and we also painted a backdrop, for the show. If you see the poster, it's a picture of the man, the bard himself. And the backdrop, I won't spoil it because you should come and see the show to see it. But, we did a thing that we're able to get it done in the morning, which was wild because you're expecting it to take a lot more time. But, hand painted backdrop if you come see the show.
It's the biggest backdrop we've ever had.
Wow. Yeah. Bigger than MLK Day?
It covers more ground, and there's a certain visual heft to it.
I'll look forward to seeing it.
Yes.
Oh, awesome. Thank you very much. Let's keep going. We've got more. We've got a big crowd here. Welcome to Art Zany Radio. I think this is your first visit here.
Yeah, it is. I'm Lily Easta. I am an 11th grader at Arcadia, and I'm also very into theater, Shakespeare specifically. I read all of his plays like a long time ago and then reread a lot of them. However, I am much more into being backstage than on stage. I am not an actor. So for this particular play, I'm the head stage manager. So it's really good experience. I'm glad Bob let me do it, and I really like being backstage and seeing how everything is coming together. And, you know, he's letting me put some input into the show as well. And during the show, my, like, main responsibility is cueing the tech. So I will, like, be cueing the lights and the sound people on when they should, start and when they should put the lights up. So it's a big responsibility, but I'm excited to take it on during the show.
Well, congrats on that. We know that a play doesn't happen unless we have all of those moving parts working in coordination. So that's pretty exciting.
And I thought it would be interesting, Lily, to have your perspective in this interview also. So
we'll definitely get to that. And tell us a little bit about yourself. What grade are you? What do you like? How do you like to engage your imagination?
I'm in 11th grade. Moving way off from theater, I'm specifically into sea creatures a lot. Sharks, everyone thinks it's weird, but I like sharks a lot.
I can understand that. They are fascinating creatures.
They're very interesting creatures. Weirdly enough, my fascination from them came from just watching a lot of really poorly made shark movies.
There are a lot of them.
Because I just watch really poorly made horror movies a lot. And after watching Sharknado, like, 18... I was like, sharks are really cool. So I started learning about them more. And hopefully I can, I want to like have some career to do with specifically like handling and like just not specifically sharks, but like sea creatures, not fish, not like river, like more like deep sea and like just in the sea creatures.
I think
like that
curiosity will take you anywhere you want to go.
Yeah.
That's pretty fascinating. Thank you for being here.
Yeah.
It's a thrill. And we've got another guest. I think, Bob, you may have to swing your mic over. I don't know if your chair can get there. Welcome to Art Zany Radio. I think this might be your first time, too.
Yeah it is. I'm Milo Wheeling. I actually took a break from theater and actually just picked it up right before the pandemic hit. So this is going to be my first live performance in a while.
Yes.
I think my last one might have been in sixth grade, and I'm in 11th grade now. So, yeah, this is going to be one of my, like, bigger things in a little while. Other than theater, I really like working with animals and teaching animals and people. And I've taught a couple classes at school about different books. Zora Neale Hurston's Their Eyes Were Watching God was my favorite of the ones that I've taught. Really good book. You should read it. And so, yeah, I've been working with horses for my whole life, and I'm training some dogs. I show dogs in obedience. And I've got a lot of things just kind of coming my way.
You always bring the most fascinating, just adore these times that I get to spend, because there's so many fabulous kids, with each of them with a beautiful story. And so this is a thrill, and I'm so excited that you're doing live theater again. Again, the show is The Complete Works of William Shakespeare,
Abridged.
We got that. We'll even get better as we go through the and the show runs for one weekend. So, folks, we want you to get put it on your calendars now. It's Thursday, May 5th, Friday, May 6th, and Saturday the 7th at 7:30. Very reasonably priced. Tickets, $6, $4. I assume that's like seniors and students at the $4 rate.
Being a senior, I'll say yes.
You can't be a senior.
We make Bob pay
yes,
to come
I
to every show.
I graduate next year, right? Yeah.
That's incredible. And so, folks, do they need to get tickets in advance?
No, tickets will be available at the door.
At the door.
Yeah.
So, but come a little bit early, because I suspect there'll be a big crowd.
Well, here's hoping.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And so there may be people who don't know about this, but when you say the title, the first thing that comes to my mind is, huh? Mm-hmm. You know, how is this even possible? I call it a mad impossibility. So tell me, when you heard the title, what did you think? And, you know, how did you react to, like, Bob, are you crazy that we're doing this? Oh, it looks like Jillian wants to jump in.
Being an avid Shakespeare fan, I saw the title and went, yes. But also, because Billy Shakes wrote, you know, the 37 plays and 154 sonnets. So how do you squeeze that into anything, much less a coherent performance? And the playwrights, Jess Winfield, Adam Long, and Daniel Singer, I think I got those right.
I think you did. Bravo.
Yes. they have done a just brilliant job of condensing plots and stories and cutting out characters that don't need to be there, because, you know, Shakespeare runs for 5 hours if you drag out a show, and that's just one. So if you...
You're right.
If you condense all the stories down to one thing, like, he recycled ideas a lot. He reused things. He put in the same characters, the same plots. And I don't remember the name of it, but there was a Greek theater tradition that they had where you just take a stock character, put it in, and it works for everything. And Shakespeare did that a lot. There are identifiable individuals, like, throughout his plays. There's the fool, the main, obviously, and then there's the woman, of course, because there's always one. And you can reuse these throughout plays. So some of the stories are, like, Romeo and Juliet takes about 12 minutes, and it's its own thing. And Hamlet is the entirety of Act Two. But they condense a whole lot of other plays into, you know, very short pieces, because there's not a lot going on.
Did you folks, you didn't see that? A dump truck just drove by.
Tomatoes!
Did it have tomatoes, Paula?
I'm the man from the math problem.
There's something happening. That was so funny. Lily, I bet you were really excited when you heard that Shakespeare was happening at Arcadia.
Hang on. A little disclaimer. Let's be careful about what we choose to give away and not give away.
I'm sorry.
No, I think we're okay so far, but hopefully people are wondering.
Yeah.
Well, of course. I think that you did a great job telling us how it's possible that this could happen. But you had told us that you had read all of Shakespeare, which is something I think I've had on my list for a long time and have not managed to accomplish.
Well, I can save you a lot of time because when I read it through, well, when I first heard we were doing all of them, I was like, oh yeah, that could work, because they're very similar, most of them. Like, there are, you know, there are standout plays like Hamlet and Romeo and Juliet and Macbeth. But when I read them, most of them kind of mushed together into, oh yeah, things happened in that story. And I was like, let's move on. That's why a lot of, in the show particularly, a lot of ones stand out, and then a lot of them kind of congealed together. But yeah, they did a good job with kind of moving quickly with the, like, they pretty much said all of the plays, but like moved quickly with some of them, and others stayed longer on it, because I think people expect to like see, you know, Romeo and Juliet more mm-hmm. so than like random shows they've never heard of. So
yeah, let's ask Isaac and Milo, do you have to have a knowledge of Shakespeare to come to the show?
Absolutely not. What's interesting is it's not just like we're reciting all the plays, we're doing all the plays. There's a lot of the different scenes and different ways we're performing the plays are totally unique and different from anything you've ever seen. It just takes a really interesting take on a lot of them. There's like the big ones that people kind of know about, like Romeo and Juliet's a love story. Hamlet's about a prince. And then like there's all the king ones that are about kings. but if you like, you have that knowledge, which I just told you, so now you know, you're set to come, but you really don't need to know anything, because it's basically just like an outline of all of them.
Perfect. Jillian?
Yeah, just a small note. If you think Shakespeare is highbrow, boring, and stuffy, you have to come to this show.
Yeah, Shakespeare is really funny, and I think that's a big thing that a lot of people miss, and it's what makes this show, like, show what Shakespeare is about. Shakespeare is hilarious if you can understand the language, and this show really helps show where the hilarity comes in and add some of its own.
Well, that brings up the question of language, because that is a barrier for some people. They don't like to go see Shakespeare because what are all those old Englishy sounding, you know, foreign language words, which aren't really foreign, but they're just not the words that you hear. Is that, tell us what folks will hear when in the dialogue.
We have a bit of comedically used, like actual like Shakespearean lingo. But it's really just, having fun with mixing them up and making our own mishmash of, whatever language that might be used or might not be used.
Perfect. And Bob, you mentioned in the beginning, tell us about some of your director's notes.
Yeah. Well, the first thing I want to say is that we have text that comes from Shakespeare. Then we have text that comes from the three, we'll just call them the three playwrights. And both of those texts are funny and comedic.
And right, because this was written, this is a modern, you know, I don't know, remember what year that the playwrights made this. Anyone remember? You can look it up, folks. But it is something that came out of today's world, looking back, and then incorporating some of their own antics and craziness. And
you'll hear, you know, references to current events also, you know, every once in a while. Yeah.
And your director's notes.
Oh, I talk about words. I talk about words and how we use them, and you know, what we get used to, what we don't get used to, what we consider okay, what we consider not okay, where we consider certain words to be okay and where are they not okay, in what settings. A show like this, you know, plays with that a whole lot. It plays with words, first of all, and it plays with words. You know, Shakespeare was bawdy. B-A-W-D-Y. He was bawdy. Well, the three playwrights are bawdy also. Okay? So I just want to get that out to our audience and let you know when you come in, we're going to have fun. I very intentionally put on the poster that we'll rate this show PG-13.
Probably a good idea.
Want people to know that. You know,
you want people to enjoy it too, right? Oh,
this is fun. Okay?
But I'm saying that the younger kids, might go right
exactly,
over.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. So, be ready for that kind of fun that sometimes is bawdy.
Well, and the other thing that changed, anyone can jump in on this, is that the original play had 3 players, and you're doing it with 10. So, tell me how that works.
Well, it's interesting when you take a play written for 3 white guys and put it into a group of 10 people from all different genders and races. And it was interesting in rehearsal because, like, we had to go through and, like, assign roles, and we're essentially just playing ourselves putting on Shakespeare. So it was really interesting just taking a play that did super well with 3 guys and trying to make it do super well with 10 different students. And so, I mean, we had to change a couple of things that probably weren't okay for a bunch of students to say. But we also kept some things that were intentionally there, written by the 3 guys and in combination with Shakespeare. And that's, again, where the rating comes from.
Also, there, you know, if you picture this, 37 plays in 97 minutes is what it's built. So if you think of just 3 guys doing this, okay, that sounds, whoa, this is crazy and fun, okay? And it would be. But one of my jobs always as an arts educator is to see how many people can I give opportunity to.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's why I had 10 people who were ready to do this. Why not? You know, then I have to, you know, divide roles, and it doesn't have the same kind of pop. If there are purists who know this show, this is not the, you know, the 3-person version, because I got a lot of good people. Let's get them all involved.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I think too, Lily, I want to talk about the idea, the pacing of the show, to be able to make it happen in that 97 minutes with 10 people, and you're the one doing the stage managing. What has your role been, and how have you been able to make that possible?
You know, well, with Bob's shows, he always, his like rule of thumb for all the actors is that, you know, they have to like know when their cue is, and they have to come in. They're responsible for their props and things like that. But when, you know, because I was there for like every rehearsal, because usually he did the rehearsals by pieces, so he'd only have like 3 or 4 actors there per rehearsal, like chunk. So a lot, it could be very confusing, especially when we had to change a lot of things, because a lot of the comedic timing of the show is that it's just 3 guys running around going crazy. And you know, that's used a little bit in some sections where there's only like 2 or 3 for a long section. But yeah, it was very like confusing, and a lot of times mainly my big role like during the rehearsals was just helping people with their lines and giving them lines when they were on stage. And, you know, helping Bob think of, like, different things to enhance the performance for it. So it was challenging at first. And Shakespeare has a lot of characters. So it works that there's a lot of people. Even when we cut a lot of characters, too. And it was helpful to have, you know, someone there to help the actors out for that.
Yeah, I would imagine. And
we get so tired running the show with 10 people. Like, there's parts where there's a couple of people on, and like we're running around for 15 minutes straight, and then we like go backstage and we're like, how do 3 people do this entire show by themselves?
Yeah, and you guys are young, and so you have a lot of boundless energy, so that feels amazing.
And one scene just knocks us out. I can't imagine how three actual adult people could do this.
Yeah, here's a teaser. The last 2 minutes are exhausting, right? Okay. That's all I'll say.
Okay.
Exhausting for the light crew, too.
Oh, dear.
Let me tell you.
So you got to get those cues right as well. And so tell us about the characters that you play or as much as you can reveal.
Am I allowed to say who I play, Bob?
Sure.
I'm Hamlet. And I love it with my entire heart because when I went to Prairie Creek Community School in fifth grade, we did a little production of Hamlet, and it was one of my favorite things I have ever done. We called it Ham, 1/7 of Hamlet, Prince of Denmark. And in that, I played Horatio, and I just fell in love with Shakespeare. It had the intended effect. And I adore the bard now. And I cannot come back from it. And I have not read nearly as many as Lily, admittedly. But the ones that I have read, I've just absolutely fallen in love with. So being able to do Hamlet, even this, you know, very comedic, very shortened production of Hamlet, is just a dream come true. And the people here can vouch. When Bob told me I was being Hamlet, I did a little scream and a little spin. I was very, very happy. So.
Oh, that's what you were doing.
I was dancing, Isaac.
And what's even funnier is at first they didn't think they were Hamlet because Bob was like, you might not be Hamlet. And they were so sad, they almost cried. So, and then they got Hamlet and they were oh so happy.
Bravo. This is a big role.
Yeah, and it's so exhausting, but I am absolutely thrilled. And having the character background, because I've read the play a couple times, to put into this comedic Hamlet has made it so much more fun. Because knowing the layers and all my opinions about this man, this little rat man, has made it so, so much fun to stick them into this style of Shakespeare. And frankly, I think the Bard would really like this production.
I think that's an interesting question to consider.
I just throw it out there. The Guthrie is doing Hamlet next year. Yeah,
oh.
So we will go see it. And then Julian will be very happy.
I'm so excited.
And did you guys went to see a production this year as well?
We went to see The Tempest. Our language arts specialist, Scott Grave, on a yearly basis, will do a quarter focused on a Shakespearean play that whatever's running at the Guthrie. So he'll have a class. So some of you have been involved in it, right?
And nobody's a senior,
then,
right?
So no, and then we go see the show. The Tempest was a great production. I'll leave it there. You guys can talk.
Yeah, super. The way the Guthrie always does Shakespeare is it's always just incredible and totally different from the last production. The costumes, the way that they wrapped music into it, because they're like. In Shakespeare, they don't really, use music to the full effect. And so the way the Guthrie, they had musical numbers and, dancing, and they had little guys playing guitars, and, and the set design was just incredible.
It's a beautiful stage, and, you're right, they attract some of the top quality performers and every part of, you know, from lights and tech and set and everything is just extraordinary. So what a great thing you got to do. You're going to jump in and tell us something, Milo.
Yeah, I just, I started with Shakespeare very similar to the way Julian did, where I did a production of The Tempest as a fourth grader at Prairie Creek. And that's where I really started getting interested in Shakespeare, and also where I started wanting to make Shakespeare something that everyone could enjoy. That's an interest of mine just in general, being able to make something that people want to see and people can understand easily. And I played Stefano when I was in fourth grade at The Tempest. I love my little man. And that's where it started for me. And so being able to see all these shows that we've done previously in our lives or learned about or seen at the Guthrie and being able to make them ourselves and to be able to see them and our friends make them is a really fun experience, and being able to see it in a way that other people can enjoy too.
That's pretty incredible. And folks, if you're just tuning in, this is Art Zany, Radio for the Imagination. I'm Paula Granquist. I'm here with the group, not everybody, some of the group. I don't know if we could, we'd have to do like rotating seats or something or to get everybody here. But we've got folks from the Arcadia production of the complete works of William Shakespeare,
Abridged.
We're getting better. We'll do it. We'll get there. And this is opening up next week. It's already May next week. So Thursday, May 5th at 7:30, Friday the 6th at 7:30, and Saturday the 7th at 7:30. Very reasonable tickets, $6, $4 if you're a student or a senior, and a great night of entertainment. It is 37 plays in 97 minutes.
Yes. And where is it being done?
Arcadia Charter School.
And Paula, where's Arcadia Charter School?
Behind the Perkins.
In the warehouse district.
Isaac Gunn, thank you for joining me on that.
Of course.
that has become our tagline, right? For folks to find it. It's really easy to find. You can check out their website, arcadiacharterschool.org, if you want some more details about the school, about the location, or information about anything related to Arcadia. And well, let's talk about the, because we've touched on this, but the comedic elements of the show and how to take something. Sometimes not all his plays are comedies. There are a lot of really serious, depressing, you know, tragedies, right? There's comedies and tragedies.
But let's also remember that we have Shakespeare's comedy, and then we have the three playwrights' comedy.
Right, so we're layering.
Okay, so keep that in mind as you're answering, you guys.
Looks like Julian wanted to jump in.
I have a lot of feelings. So with Hamlet and with Romeo and Juliet, which are two of my favorites and also very obvious tragedies where a lot of characters die, there is humor, to be found in how abruptly things happen sometimes. And Lily, confirm if this is true. Part of the reason I think people watch horror movies sometimes is for that, like, shock laughter almost, is that that comes up when you just did not expect a bad thing to happen. And that doesn't happen so much in this show. It plays more on the, I guess the way that the characters die oftentimes is just kind of ridiculous.
It's more of like, oh my God, that just happened. We just saw that they just did that. Sort of like shock hilarity, and a lot of that comes from physicality, random things that people say that the playwrights combined with Shakespeare like created, and yeah, a lot of the comedy just is that there's just so many different types and different ways to try to yank the laugh out of the audience.
And, you know, there's a particular line in the show. It's just one line I'm going to say, Bob, where there, it was, we were getting, talking about tragedies again, and we had just done comedies, and one of the actors goes, funny enough, the tragedies are actually more funny than the comedies. So, maybe it's not, I've read all, like, the tragedies, and they are, as you know, they're tragic. But at least the way we do them, it can be pretty funny to watch because it's just like boom, 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 this happens. Also, a lot of the things in Shakespeare's plays were like kind of not necessarily the norm, but like easier to, I guess, digest back in the day when he wrote it. And mm-hmm. Nowadays we're like, that's really weird. What?
Well,
how
yeah,
did
we're
that happen?
We're talking a couple hundred years ago, so yeah. Of course that would be.
Right, and we need to keep in mind that this was written by three guys doing comedic shtick, mm-hmm. Okay? You know, comedic bits. You know, how did you talk about getting laughs out of the audience? How do we do that? What do we do? Okay, I mean, for that you can go back to, you know, Buster Keaton and Charlie Chaplin and the Marx Brothers and look at how do they get the laugh out of the audience.
And what's cool about the version that we're doing is it's actually revised. So they took the show that the three guys wrote.
So it's not only a Shakespeare Abridged, but it's
also
the complete works of Shakespeare revised.
Abridged, revised. Okay. And the way they did it is like all sorts of different productions and people around the world have done this show, and they looked at what those people did and combined with the original of the three guys, they adapted it to the way that it's been done. So the show has evolved from these three guys into jokes and improv and things that.
Well, that's a really interesting story to have a play that has sort of a metamorphosis and a movement and sort of a living thing.
I know. And one thing that Bob usually says before all performances, we did A Midsummer Night's Dream a couple years ago. He says, don't watch other performances most of the time. Some scenes, but don't watch other performances because he wants to get, his directing and also just, your visceral reaction to how you think the scene could work. Because if you watch other people do it, you think, oh, that's better, but then it's just kind of copying. And, the reason you do your own performance is so that it's different. You get different acting styles, different, even just how you deliver jokes differently. So
that's wise. That Bob, he's a wise man.
No wonder he's the arts coordinator at Arcadia.
go ahead.
Yeah, I just think that Shakespeare itself is a community aspect unto itself. I mean, I've made friends across the world through Shakespeare, but it's also people come together to make Shakespeare what it is, and we don't have the original Shakespeare plays. Everything that we know is something diverged. And what's really fun about this is that, Romeo and Juliet, Julian will say this until they die, knock on wood, but it's a comedy until Mercutio dies. And then it's not, and then it's a tragedy. And the way that this show does it is that it's a comedy through the death, and it makes everything ridiculous and funny, and leaves you wondering what's supposed to happen. And it's just a fun way to do that, and it keeps going like that through every single show that we do. We do Hamlet and everything, and it's really funny. And we do that through so many different ways, that were all written by these three original people and changed by the people that they influenced and then changed again by us.
What I find fascinating is that, so you are all young folks, I'll say that, because I'm entering that other side of the world now. And you're all fascinated by Shakespeare, which was something that was, I think, 400 years old, if I remember. So that, what is the enduring value of Shakespeare?
I think part of the value and part of the reason that so many productions can do so many different things is that Shakespeare gave us almost nothing other than the text. There are no stage directions. You say exit and you say enter. Because with plays, I read Raisin in the Sun, and those stage directions are like a book. They're beautiful, and they tell you exactly what to do. Whereas with Shakespeare, you just kind of do anything. So you can set it anywhere. You can do anything with it. And that's why part of the reason why so many of the stories have been recycled over and over. We have Romeo and Juliet. We have West Side Story.
The Lion King.
The Lion King, thank you. And that's why you can put them anywhere, is because these stories are so universal and these themes are so universal. Scott Grave, we mentioned him, saw that I was sad and gay and said, here, have Hamlet, because it's just such a universal thing, reading Hamlet as a teenager and going, oh, I feel this man, I understand this guy, and then having your midlife crisis and going, I still understand this guy. it's such a lifelong thing, is the themes that come up in Shakespeare and the way that you can put them anywhere and apply them to almost anything. It's beautiful.
That was beautifully stated, thank you.
Yeah, and the stories are the plays are really interesting, and I'm sure a lot of people are tired of seeing Romeo and Juliet. Frankly, I am. It's a little overrated in my opinion. But
Isaac has something to say.
Romeo's right here.
Yeah. Let's just say, if you want a fresh take on Romeo and Juliet, come on Thursday, Friday, and Saturday.
Surprise!
7:30 at Arcadia.
I want to throw something out. When true confessions here. When I first read Shakespeare, and I don't even remember which Shakespeare it was, it was dense to me. And it was, hold it, what's going on here? And what does all this mean? And I think probably for me, you guys, the first time I really read Shakespeare was in a class at in college. So not, you know,
not in high school.
No, not in high school.
Hmm.
And so I had a prof to, you know, to help me through it, help me understand it. But I've really come to realize, and people need to understand this, is that Shakespeare is meant to be seen. Shakespeare is meant to be performed.
Performed,
yes. To see the performance, and then things come clear.
So it's, yeah, maybe not one meant to be sat down and read like a book.
Well, the Lily Easteps of the world love that, and that's a great thing. It's a great thing, okay? Don't get me wrong. However, Shakespeare, when we can really digest it, is, to me, when we see it and hear it performed. So there.
When you want the words, you read it, and when you want the story, you watch it.
And another thing, the themes in these stories are so used and universal, like the Romeo mm-hmm. and Juliet, you know, one family and another family, or anything in a feud is one of the most, like, you know, common and used tropes in pretty much all of media ever. And, you know, and it's interesting because I remember Scott said we were going to The Tempest, and I was like, that is the one play I thought I'd never see.
Oh.
Because it's so, like...
It wasn't on your list.
It wasn't really on my list of things that I was like, that would be fun to see. But also, like, it's very... The Tempest is pretty different from a lot of the other stories. Like, other than the fact that there's a shipwreck, that's a pretty universal one.
And it was his last play, so there's a lot of themes in The Tempest talking about, like, what he wants to leave his followers and audience with, and how he wants to leave the world through his work. So The Tempest is not super, super covered in our show, but it's just a really... incredible story. So after you come see our show, you should go see The Tempest.
Perfect. We are running. I've got more questions, but we've just got a couple minutes. So I'm going to ask, because I was thinking about this. You had this beautiful arts residency with Chris Koza. And so I want to ask you, you can pick which one you want to answer. So what was the greatest thing you learned from Chris Koza about being an artist, or how arts can, you know, change the world? Or if you were to have an arts residency with Shakespeare, what do you think that would be like? Oh, it looks like Julie's ready to jump in. Yeah.
Everyone get ready.
Buckle up, Buttercup. Shakespeare is a wild, wild man. He burned the first globe down doing a cannon effect for, I think, Edward III, one of the Edwards.
The whole theater.
They burned it down, and then they rebuilt it.
This fact I didn't know.
That stage manager wasn't very good, huh, Lily?
I think I learned that in Doctor Who. There was an episode in Doctor Who where they meet Shakespeare, and then the globe burns down. So you learn a lot through the media.
Well, that's how enduring Shakespeare is that he makes it into Doctor Who.
He goes everywhere. He's all over the place. And so he was... And the things that he writes are just kind of up the wall. Mercutio's Queen Mab monologue, for example, where did that come from? There are so many pieces of Shakespeare that are like, what were you doing? Who hurt you? What dreams did you have, you know?
And good questions.
I think if we were to do an arts residency with Shakespeare, it would be so chaotic and so fun, but also kind of terrible. I don't think he would know how to work with children very well.
So teaching might not be...
teaching is not his calling.
Yeah, and also the way that kids and the arts were treated in his time are vastly different from now. And so there would kind of be a barrier there, I feel.
You know, and since, like, there were no, you couldn't have women on stage in 1600, so they would have prepubescent boys play the female characters, which is its own problem.
And if you've ever been to Arcadia, that's not going to happen.
Yeah, you know, I personally, I don't like psychology, but man, would I do a psychoanalysis on that man, because he is up the wall. And I just want to see, well, first I want him to watch other performances and be like, is this what you pictured? He'd be like, no. And
he'd
then
probably
I was,
be distracted, I suppose, by the, even the tech stuff that's available.
The magic box with
there
people
are
in it. Yeah, and then I'd be like, how would you do it? And he'd be like, okay. And I'd be like, I will stage manage, but I will not perform.
Yeah, it would be very hard to perform for Shakespeare. I feel like he would have expectations that were way too big. But, yeah, it's just... I mean, I'd like to meet him.
Mm-hmm.
But I would prefer not to have lifelong therapy for acting in a Shakespeare play directed by Shakespeare.
I think I'd go crazy being a stage manager for him.
I think you might, yeah. Milo, any response, any idea? Were you a part of the Chris Cosa group?
I actually designed and directed making the backdrop, but I didn't do any performing or any such thing.
From what I hear, that was a pretty incredible piece
gorgeous.
Of art. Yes.
We had to paint over it really fast.
Yeah, it was
we had to paint over it immediately.
Oh. It was a week. but I didn't do any of the Chris Cosa stuff, and I don't generally do art residencies much because the music is too loud for me.
Mm.
So I don't. That's not something I generally take part in because I don't want to have to be there when it comes. But I think when it comes to making an arts residency, there are certain people you need to choose for that. And Shakespeare honestly wouldn't be one that I would choose. I think it'd be a great plug for the school. There'd be a lot of people saying, hey, you're still alive. And
that might draw some attention.
Hey, I saw you in Doctor Who.
But I think he's not the best with kids or, I mean, from my knowledge, or anything. And I think there's a certain amount of stuff that we really don't know about what he wanted. Like, it's been 500 years. And society has changed in ways that we haven't noticed.
We haven't gotten a Shakespeare biopic yet, so we just don't know.
That's how we find out.
Yeah.
Maybe the receding hairline is a ruse.
Thank you so much for being willing to play and to answer that preposterous question. I can tell this is a great group, and it's going to be a great production. This is the... Here we go. I'm giving you the heads up. This is... The Complete Works of William Shakespeare,
Abridged.
Our best yet. Our best yet. And you can see that at Arcadia Charter School, which is behind the Perkins. I was solo on that one.
We missed it.
And, folks, that starts next Thursday, runs Thursday, Friday, Saturday at 7:30. Show up at the door for tickets, but come a little bit early. Make sure you get your spot in case it sells out. 37 plays, 97 minutes. Great
lots
cast
of laughs,
and crew.
Lots of fun.
Exactly.
Sit in the front if you like interacting.
Ooh.
Sit in the back if you want to hear clicking.
Sit anywhere if you want to have a good time.
That's it.
Aww. Write that down, folks.
That's right. I'm such a so thrilled to be able to have the students back. It really makes me smile. You can't see through my mask, but I'm absolutely enjoying this time. It's been a wonderful pleasure. I want to thank my guest, Bob Gregory-Bjorklund, for bringing everybody to here.
Thanks, Paula.
Julianne Ross, thank you. Isaac Udelhofen, I hope I said that.
You're good.
Okay, I'm good. Lily Eastup and Milo Whaling. Thank you so much. Folks, this is Art Zany, Radio for the Imagination. I hope that you will also remember to get your tickets to Native Gardens, which we had on last week, which opens up May 6th, and that you can get those details at northfieldartsguild.org. Listen to the rebroadcast. Great interview with Justin Cervantes and Anna Olson of the Northfield Arts Guild. In a few weeks, we're going to be talking about the Straight River Arts Festival, a new festival in Faribault by Jessica Prills. She'll be joining me for a show later on this month, so visit straightriverartfestival.org for more details. And folks, I hope that you always take the time to add some Art Zany to your life. And in the meantime, till next time, Enjoy your imagination.
You've been listening to Art Zany, Radio for the Imagination, with your host, Paula Granquist. Art Zany is brought to you each week by the Northfield Arts Guild and by the Paradise Center for the Arts in Faribault. The Paradise Center for the Arts is a vibrant cultural and artistic gathering spot in historic downtown Faribault. The Paradise is committed to offering high-quality visual and performing art opportunities for Faribault and our region. Regular events spotlight some of the best artists and musicians in our area and throughout Minnesota and the Upper Midwest. Our beautifully restored facility includes art galleries, classrooms, clay and textile labs, a gift shop and rehearsal spaces, in addition to a 300-seat auditorium. Visit ParadiseCenterForTheArts.org for a full schedule of events or call our box office at 507-332-7372.
Weather specialist Bob Matheson has your weather weekday mornings on KYMN.